The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Seeing Jesus coming towards him, John said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I spoke of when I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks before me because he existed before me.' I did not know him myself, yet it was to reveal him to Israel that I came baptizing with water. John also declared, 'I saw the Spirit coming down on him from heaven like a dove and resting on him.' I did not know him myself, but he who sent me to baptize with water had said to me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and rest is the one who is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Yes, I have seen, and I am the witness that he is the chosen one of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Almost an aside before we begin, I think we feel confused sometimes when John the Baptist said, "I didn't know him," and we think, well, Luke said that Mary and Elizabeth met and John leapt, as it were, before he was born. Presumably the family knew each other. Yes, they did. The commentators are quite clear about that. They did. What John didn't know was that this was the chosen one. He knew Jesus, grew up in Nazareth. He was near the hill country of Judah. Presumably they met, they knew each other. But like maybe cousins of your own that you've not seen for 20 or 30 years, and they might not know you, or they might know you, but not know about you. Probably John knew that Jesus was the carpenter, Joseph was a carpenter, Jesus was a carpenter. He didn't know he was a chosen one. That's what the commentators all make. John is the witness. And God, who'd sent him to baptize, said, "And the one you see, the Spirit come on, he is the one." And at that point, John knew. But that's why he says, before that, "I didn't know. I knew he was Jesus. I knew he was a carpenter. I didn't realize he was the chosen one." Just tries to clarify in case you're asking any questions. Well, you don't need much experience of life to know that many of the much heralded changes, revolutions, reforms that occur in the world do not always last, or often don't last, all that long. We're surrounded by ruins of initiatives, projects, programs, reorganizations. If you've been in the health service, you've been in education, you've been maybe in defense, anywhere in the civil service, they're words that you'll know, aren't they? Initiatives, projects, ticking the boxes, filling up the programs. Reorganizations always going on. And in some ways it's the same with peace treaties. We think a long history, certain amount of peace treaties, and they last for so long. But, you know, they're made in one part and then somewhere else fighting breaks out. And in a way it's the same with schemes for unity. Schemes for unity that are drawn up and seem and appear quite good. And yet, often we've moved on and life has changed. It's the same that these days it seems that the government and then the opposition and someone else have got to make an announcement day, almost daily. We get something that's coming at us all the time. That's the world that we live in. And of course, some of the initiatives fall away because maybe they depend too much on one person or one leader, and it changes, and so does the world with it. You think of someone like Mandela, and how none of us probably when we were younger would have thought that apartheid would come, but he came. Maybe would have thought the Berlin Wall wouldn't collapse, but Gorbachev came, and it began to all. And different things, always like that. Well, it wasn't totally different in Jesus' day. John the Baptist had his disciples gathered round him. This rough prophetic voice had called a group of people to be with him, spoke about the way they were to go, and then suddenly he starts changing. And he said, the one on whom the Spirit rests, this is the one now, you've got to go with him. And so some of John's disciples begin to walk to Lord Jesus. But they probably have in their minds, well, why is it suddenly changing? Why has it suddenly gone wrong? Or why is this happening? And they may be thought, and then if we follow Jesus, is he going to say after a little while, oh, now we've got to go somewhere else? No. And that's the whole point. All the initiatives, all the changes, all the programs, all the reorganizations, there's only one that actually really matters. And it's why when we moved into the year 2001, at the end of that historic year 2000, John Paul II gave us into the third millennium and said, it's not new initiatives you want, because there is only one, and it's Jesus. And Pope Francis more or less saying the same, unraveling in some ways, but staying the same thing. It's Jesus that we fix on. And Pope Benedict gave us Jesus of Nazareth. It's our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's why in growing time, following the mystery we celebrated, we grow in this concentration on Jesus, because John said, he is the one on whom the Spirit rests. He is the chosen one. But I want to pick a word that John, the gospel writer, used. We've heard it twice today, but he uses it 40 times in his gospel. The Greek word is meneni, but it actually means remain, stay, rest on. John the Baptist speaks there. He said, I saw the Spirit coming and resting on Jesus. Later, he said, the voice said, whom your Spirit comes down and rests on. Rest, remain, stay. And there's a sense in which there's that great stability there. So it's really said, this isn't a fleeting moment. This isn't a dove that sort of came down and then flew away again. This is the Spirit that came on Jesus and stays with him and remains with him and rests with him. And during John's gospel and his writings, he uses that Greek word 40 times, as it were, to get across to us that the thing stays, remains, rests. Everything in human life can be in flux and constantly on the move and changing. It's not saying that we don't go along with that, but it is saying that there's one on whom the Spirit rests, remains, and stays. And that's why in Jesus we meet the one that we can trust, who won't change. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, tomorrow, as he has always been. So it is that he is the one that says, I will be with you always, irrespective of what's going on in your life. I will be with you at all times, forever, always. And that's a key theme of John, but it's also in Matthew. This year is the year of Matthew. Most of our gospel readings are from Matthew. Matthew begins, in a sense, with a different word but the same meaning, God with us, Emmanuel. We sang, O come, Emmanuel. God with us. That's what the name Emmanuel means, God with us. And that God with us who grew up at the end of Matthew's gospel says, I will be with you always. Yes, to the end of time. The Lord always there. And if you read on a few verses beyond where our gospel this morning ended, you'll find that two of John the Baptist's disciples, seeing Jesus, and John pointed to him, said, Jesus says to them, first of all, what do you want? And they said, where do you live? And he says, come and see. And St. John says, they went and stayed with him. It's that whole point of staying, remaining, being with. And that's what we seek to do. Each week we come, week by week, and the Lord calling us, we stay with him. We've received the Spirit, because the point at the ascension, when the Lord goes back to Father, he sends the Spirit on his church. That Spirit who stays with us, who's always with us to the end of time. And the Spirit, in a few minutes, we say, let your Spirit come upon these gifts. And it says the priest is to spread his hands, as it were, like that, almost as if it's like a dove, that Spirit coming down on the gifts, the bread, the wine, that become God with us, that become the body and blood of the Lord. And it's why we come, to be fed, nourished at his hand. And he's the only program that, in a sense, doesn't change. He's the only one that we can still come to. After the 2,000 years of the history, we can still come. And there is the Lord. And when we come, we hear what John the Baptist said. Behold the Lamb of God. Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when he takes away the sins of the world, we sing, grant us peace. This day of peace that we can only come from him. And equally, after we've done that, we have the prayer for peace, do we not? After the Lord's Prayer, we have that prayer for peace and for unity. So every Mass is bringing us to that same point, picking out different bits as the year unfolds. But behold the Lamb of God, who prayed for unity, who we pray, give us your peace.